Amen. Still in Matthew chapter 7, there's so much that I can be, should be said about the false hope people have in eternity. Everybody thinks they're going to end well. They really do. They didn't have some kind of a assurance in their mind or comfort with their views and their opinions and what they believe in. And if they didn't have something there that they kind of lean on. Sometimes it's the fact that they really think down the road, I'm going to become a better person. I'm going to get it right. I know I'm not exactly right now, but down the road, I'll get things settled between me and God, and I'll go to heaven too. Most have a false hope and some kind of religious beliefs that's not centered in the Bible, or it's rested scripture, or it's something other men have said. This is all you do. This is salvation. And people take the word of man over the word of God and face eternity without God. And so it's a serious thing, this thing of being deceived. It's everywhere. The Bible tells us that I was going to go through. I've got a list of things of where just reveals how deceptive, powerful, and deceptive the devil's going to be at the end time. H read that list, and that just shows you how the mentality of thinking, the reasoning of the people of this generation has changed. I think it goes along with what I said, that back when I was a boy, a lot of people were getting in. A lot of people were getting saved. I don't believe that it was the beginning of the falling away then. I believe it started later. And you started seeing that it's just the churches of every type changing and becoming more, you might say, humanized, believing in rationale and the scriptures and things of that. And so where we're at here in this Matthew chapter 7 just helps us to see that not everybody that saith on them, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That ought to. If you'll think about that for a while, just roll that over in your mind. The people that really believe they're going to heaven on what they believe or their concept of God. A lot of people just think God is a jolly good old fellow, that he overlooks everything. He don't care if you violate his law some. He's just full of love, 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 love. Sensual love, not holy love. But he's so full of love, he couldn't put anybody in hell. Now, believe me, that permeates a lot of minds today. They really believe that. They believe God is so good, and he is good. God is loving, and God doesn't want anybody to perish. But he does have conditions that he has set forth in his word in order for you to enter heaven. You don't enter it on your terms or your views or your opinions or your beliefs or whatever it might be. He has a way. Jesus says, I am the way. And there's no other way but that. There's not some that's partially right, might be, no. Jesus is the way, the only way, the true way. And so it must be by him. Well, we have the case here of people that I'm kind of centering on that really think that all is well, and they're building a whole life on it. They're building all these things on it, all these good deeds, and, you know, just never bother nobody, never spoke a bad word, never had an argument. You know, they say that a lot. You ever hear that down funeral home? You know, they just loved everybody. Everybody, you see, what they're telling you is what they believe is the condition that determines whether they go to heaven or not. They always try to be good to their neighbor and just loved everybody, and they're telling you what they believe. They're building a house. They're building and framing a kind of a mindset, you may say, that keeps on developing, and they add more to it, and they add to it, and they add to it. As they add to it, it darkens the deception to where it's harder to ever get through to them. And the Bible says they'll build it all on sand, and when the storm comes, they'll fail. It's the truth of what is going to happen in the future. It's the truth of what happens to millions and millions of people all the time. They trust false religions all across this world. This doesn't change. The doctrine don't change in China or India. Don't change in Haiti. It don't change in Cuba. It doesn't change in Canada, Australia. It's the exact same requirements out of the same Bible. Maybe translated in their language, but it's got to be according to the Word of God. Well, that, I believe the Lord is helping us to see, really, you have to have some kind of a discernment in order to pray for people or to understand your footing, where your foundation rests, what you're standing on. And so I believe he gives us some examples here. He tells us about the false prophets in verse number 15. And the Bible tells us over in 1 John that there'll be many of them in the last days. There'll be so many of them that you're going to have to try the spirits, because there's many false prophets gone out amongst us. And so he tells you, you need to know how to test spirits. You need to be spiritual enough to where you can tell whether it's the Spirit of God or the spirit of this world, the spirit of Satan. And so certainly there is some examples and tests the Bible gives us that we can. This one here helps you to understand, if you'll take it just as it is. It'll answer a lot of questions. It'll help you. If you don't try to add to it, read something into it, rest it a little bit. If you'll take it just like it is, it'll answer the questions. The truth doesn't change or bend for any or bow for anybody. It's just the truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so this is where we learn how to, you might say, how to determine whether a person has really been born again, whether a person is just trusting in a false hope, how to identify people. The Bible tells us the spiritual man judges all things. And so you have to have a judgment according to the Word of God as a protection. To try yourself, according to the book, to try others. And so you've got the tests in the book to use. Well, he deals with these people, these false prophets, and what God says here to them applies to everybody. It's under the same conditions as far as identifying people, whether they really have something going for them that'll get them to heaven, or whether they're deceived, they're going to end in hell. He says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Acts that many wolves would raise up amongst you. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns and figs of thistles? No, that's not reasonable. That's not reasonable. You don't gather the one from the wrong source. And so he says, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree, now I'm saying it, this it don't mean nothing unless you take it like it says. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Now let me read that again. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. A person that is saved is not going to live wicked. Period. Settled. Who said it? Jesus said it. He said, you better have this real clear in your mind. People that are saved do not live wicked lives. They don't have evil fruit. They don't go out there and live in fornication. They don't go out there and live like the Sodomites. They don't go out there and live like the world and live in nakedness and ungodliness. No, they don't do that. Well, some people, they don't do that. No, they can't do that. They're a good tree, and a good tree will not bring forth evil fruit. It will not do it. I didn't set the precedent. I didn't write this. God give it. And it's settled. It's clear. People that claim to know God, to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and live wicked are lying to you, and worst off, they're lying to themselves. It's bad to lie to people. But boy, it's damning to your soul to lie to yourself. And people that can live wicked and feel comfortable of living in the world, loving the things of the world, putting the world before God, are lying, deceiving, and deceiving themselves. It's going to be the trend in the last day, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3. They're going to be deceiving and deceiving themselves. Telling themselves things to comfort themselves, to quiet their conscience, to make them feel like they're ready, like they're okay. But in truth, they're lying to themselves and they're deceived. Good tree cannot bring forth, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now you got to be a fruit inspector. You got to know what is truth, what is evil. You got to be able to discern that. It's got to be something that's clear to you. God didn't leave us in a kind of a state that things that aren't really clear, they're kind of cloudy and confusing. No. This Bible enlightens you. It opens your eyes and your understanding. It doesn't leave you in the dark. People that are in the dark are people that do not have knowledge of the Word of God, nor do they have the Holy Ghost of God that's promised to guide you into all truth. I'm saying to you, we don't have to, well, I don't know it. I don't understand a lot about the Bible. Problem isn't that you don't understand the Bible. The problem is you don't listen to the Holy Ghost of God. If you open this Bible and humble yourself before the Lord and confess the Lord, I want to know, I don't understand, I want to know what this means, I will personally guarantee to you that if you mean what you say, Jesus means what he said, and the two of you get together, he says, because I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost, and he will. I guarantee you, Jesus said, I guarantee you, he will guide you into all truth. If you listen to him, if you believe the book, if you read this book and get something in you that the Holy Ghost can work with, he'll guide you in all truth. He won't lead you in error. He won't lead you in confusion. He'll guide you in all truth. He says, good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now, let me just take a few moments and deal with this thought of what is in a person's life that's saved. What's in them? What does God give them that causes them to be alive spiritually? The Christian has a spiritual life. They didn't have a spiritual life before they saved. After they're saved, they have a spiritual life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And that's 1 John 4:12. If the Spirit of God's in there, you have a soul and mind and spirit that's being led by the Holy Ghost of God, you have a spiritual life. You have the Spirit moving in your life. It's a life in you that's maturing. It's a life that's alive and living. You sing the songs. I like to remind you of songs because I keep telling you that they have such a message. Christ liveth in me, Christ liveth in me. And oh, what a wonder it is that it's actually true. Christ in you, the hope of glory. How can you say you don't have the life of God? When you get the Holy Ghost of God, you get the representation of Christ in you, in your life. A living Lord. God in you working both the will and to do his good pleasure. It's God in you working in your life. And so you have a spiritual life in you. I'm saying this life is the grace of God that works in your life. Grace is the influence of God. When God enters your life, he influences you. He corrects you, instructs you. He said he chastens every son. Every one of them, he says, if they're not chastened, they don't belong to me. If I can't correct them, if I can't straighten them out, they don't belong to me. I chasten every son. And he said, I do it for the purpose that they might be a partaker of God's nature. They might act like God. They might act like my son. You have a predestinated work going on in your life as a Christian. One that's ensured that these things will take place in your life. Guaranteed. The Bible tells us that you're predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, Romans chapter 8. He says you are. Not to make a good you and hold you up and look how great a guy you are. No, 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 no. God's changing your life to make you look like His Son. You're predestinated to do that. I think it's Romans 8, 27 or 6, somewhere's in there. It takes you in. It shows you that God has, this is what He loves His Son. His Son always obeyed Him. And He wants you to be like His Son. And so He's going to do a good work in you. And we'll perform it unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a living Lord in your life. If you're a Christian. That's why you won't bear bad fruit. You're going to bear good fruit. He's going to see to it. I'm saying there's no such a thing as a Christian living a dormant Christian life where it's not actively growing. Every Christian grows. Every Christian matures. Every Christian develops the Christian life. Every Christian is conforming. Every Christian has been transformed. Every Christian is a new creature. There's no such a thing as a Christian that, well, they just didn't grow up. They just didn't have anybody tutor them or to help them or disciple them. That's not your Bible. That's not your Bible. Every Christian will grow. Every Christian will come to the knowledge of the truth. Every Christian will mature. Every Christian is aimed towards perfection. Yes. I know that's a touchy word. I'm saying we have in us the seed of the Word of God. The Bible tells us that in 1 John chapter 3. We've got a seed in us. We've got the living Word in us that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's quick means it's alive. You have the living Word of God in your life as the Holy Spirit of God gives it life to your soul. And so you are a living soul, not a dying soul. I'm saying to you that this old doctrine that they're putting out, that some people just don't grow, don't mature. Let me give you a verse that they base it here. Turn back to Proverbs. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 11. I want you to look at a verse real close for me just for a few moments. If you'll let this verse speak, if you'll let this verse speak without predetermined what it's got to say, if you'll just let this verse speak, it would correct a lot of false doctrine. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30. It's a favorite verse of these that are deceiving millions. Notice what it says. The fruit of the righteous is what? A tree of life. Now, wait a minute. What is the fruit of the Christian? The fruit of the Christian is a tree of life. It brings forth life. It sheds light. It's something that has the power of God in it. The righteous life is glowing and growing and bring forth, just like Psalms 1 tells you about, like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit in a season. His leaf also shall not wither, whatsoever doeth prospers. The tree of life is, notice here now, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. He that so influences people with his righteous life. Would you think with me for just a moment? Back years ago, not before this Easy Believers had come in, but back years before. You remember who got most of the credit for seeing a person getting saved? The person didn't save the person. They didn't lead them to the Lord. The person's light so shined that they may see the good works. And what happened? It glorified God in heaven. You heard of old grandmas, grandpas, moms, and dads that were real spiritual, and they sowed that seed in their children? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And that's what causes them to see souls saved. It's not them. It's the fruit of God in them. It's the evidence of God's power in them. They can tell they've been with Jesus. That's what makes the difference. They see God in them. They see the power of God in their life, how it's changed them and transformed them. And that evidence, is that not what moved you, many of you? You knew somebody in the past, the mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, many of you knew somebody else that loved God, walked with God? You had to have the Bible applied in somebody's life. You had to see it work. That's what it's saying here. The life of the righteous is as a tree of life. And certainly that is what moves folks to salvation. I got to hurry. Turn with me to John 15. John 15. I read this verse at the beginning service. Notice what it says, as I said. If you look at your Bible, let your Bible speak. Jesus is speaking. He said, I am the true vine. Now, there's phony vines, but he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, every person that names my name says they belong to me, and they bear no fruit. He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth fruit. Notice what he says. Now are you clean through the word, which I have spoken unto you. He said, abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in the vine. I'm saying to you, the Bible makes it clear that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the flowing of godliness into your life from the vine. It ain't something you make. It's not something you produce. It's not something that's just you, that's great and good and glorious. Can I say to you, the people in Matthew chapter 7, the ones above what I read that said that they did many great works, many mighty works. They did glorious works. They did wondrous works. My, they did all these things, cast out demons. The work of God in you is personal. Now, if I don't make any other point, I hope you get this one across. The work in you is not you going out and reaching people and trying to bring them to God. I'm all for it. We should do it. We neglect it a lot of times. Certainly we need to be every chance we get trying to get people in the house of God under preaching. But the work of God is not you going out working. The work of God is to change you to be like Christ, so that they can see God in you, the evidence of God in your life. And so if you abide in him, the presence of God flows out of your life from the Lord Jesus Christ in you. God working in you. God changing you, conforming you, working in your life so that you do bear good fruit. So there's something about you that they can sense the presence of God. They don't need to see us. The more they see of us, the worse chance it is we can impress them. If they see godliness in you, if they see holiness, which God is holy, be ye holy as I am holy. If they see holiness in you, then they see godness in you, godlikeness in you, that you're a representative of him. You didn't make yourself, God made you that way. You didn't all of a sudden become a great Christian because of what you've done. No. This is a work on you, as I said earlier, to make you shine. I was going to use that. After we sang that song, Make Me a Blessing, it preaches my message just as clear as can be. You get home and look at that song up, Make Me, and you'll see what I'm preaching in that song that's written, just as clear as can be. It's your life that he changes. It's no longer the old man. Now, you had clothed yourself. The Bible says, put off the old man, you, and put on the new man, which is after what? The image of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what we like to think? God's made us shine so that we look good. No. No. God's hid us if we're true. If we've denied ourselves and taken up the cross, we denied trying to present ourselves and impress people, what H has been teaching, and try to impress people with our wit and our wisdom and our knowledge and our achievements. No. What's that song? Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. That's who they got to see. That's who will make the change in their life. That's the vine itself. You're a branch. And you don't have nothing without the vine. You have nothing without the vine flowing in your life. You've got zip. He said, without me, you can do nothing. He said, you abide in me, and I'll abide in you. And he says, and the same bringeth forth much fruit. As you abide in him, as your his presence is in your life, molding you, taking away all the, can I say, sensual, selfish, prideful things in your life, to where you have that fruit of the Spirit just flowing out of you, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, temperance. That is not you. That's the fruit of the Spirit coming out of you. That's what people are looking for. Let me see, I can see man anytime. I can see man at all his glory, his self-glory, how that he's achieved things and done this and who he is and how powerful he is, how great he is. No. They need to see Jesus in us. And the fruit of the Spirit, as the Holy Spirit of God works in your life, can I say to you, you bear the evidence of God being in you. He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and it may bring forth more fruit. You're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He tells you here that if you'll abide in him, he'll abide in you. And he'll transform you. He'll change you. He'll sanctify you. It's clear in here. Notice verse 6. I wanted to get to verse 6. John 15. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now that's what we read, almost the same words in Matthew chapter 7. This is throughout your Bible. You're going to see this truth. If I had time this morning to show that the unprofitable tree, Matthew 7:19, is cut down, cast into the fire. I'm saying that the tree that you are, if you're saved, is one God's going to use. He's going to keep changing. He's going to keep developing this tree. This tree is going to keep maturing because God's working in your life. Let me get to Hebrews, and I'll close. Go to Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. There's no such a thing as a person that doesn't grow. There's no such a thing. Now, that's by developing that false doctrine, it really quiets the mind of people that just fail to mature in the faith, to grow up. Peter said, grow in grace. He signed off his epistle on it. In 2 Peter, but grow in grace in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This abiding in the vine is growing, conforming to the image of Christ. Hebrews 6, 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance, dead works, and of faith towards God. Let us go on. Let us grow. Let us mature in the faith. Let us develop this Christian life. Let us go to where we're able to be people that others can have confidence in, that you really know God, that God's in you. I was telling Brother Shepherd, I was sitting behind another preacher, and Brother Sutton got up and preached. And when Brother Sutton got down, that preacher in front of me, he turned around and looked at me and says, he's still got it. God's still on him, isn't he? I said, amen. My preacher, I believe he's a great preacher. He could sense God's spirit upon his life. That's what people are looking for, wanting to see, watching you. Turn to me just over a page, Hebrews 7. I'll read it for a few verses. We'll close. Romans 7. Beginning verse number 11. Now you need to just read your Bible with me. Slow, just read with me. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law. Now if you just take this verse, it'll help you. I'm going to read the rest of it. If you'll take this verse as truth, if that's all they needed, there would have been no reason for Christ to come. He says, notice he says, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? There's no sense of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ if that's all you had was just to obey the law. Please read on. For the priesthood being changed, that is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. And it is yet far more evident that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, But after the power, are you looking at your Bible? After the power of endless life, for he testifieth, thou art the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before, for the weakness and the unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing. Read your Bible. You hear me preaching? A lot of people think I'm not telling the truth. You read your Bible. For the law made nothing perfect. Please look at your Bible. But the bringing in of a better hope. What is that next little three-letter word? Did. It works. It makes men perfect. I don't believe in it. Well, tear that out of your Bible. Just grab your Bible. Flip that page right out. God's not telling the truth. No such a thing. Can't be. Well, tear it out. Tell God he's wrong. Be brave. You know better. You can live in sin, feel good. No, no, no. What's the Bible says? And bringing in a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Jesus made the difference in me. And he did. He did. You say, preacher, are you perfect? A lot of ways. I've got a perfectly saved heart. I got a perfect Holy Ghost of God in me. I got the perfect Word of God in me. Now you need to tell these people that want to honor sin as being more powerful than salvation that they're not in this Bible. There's a lot of ways in you that you have perfected through the leading of the Holy Spirit, the help of God, that you have a mature, perfect control of them through the Spirit. I went through this one time in a church, and I know, well, I'll just tell you, what I did. I said, how many of you just can't quit cussing? You just cuss once in a while. Take the Lord's name in vain, or you just swear sometimes. How many of you just can't stop it? How many of you say, preacher, since the Lord saved me, I never cuss? Amen. How many of you say, preacher, I never steal? You've perfected that law. I mean, I don't go to the store, or I don't rob the government, I don't steal, I don't try to cheat anybody out of a dime. I will not do it. I'd take it back if I was overpaid. I'd give somebody back money. I'd make sure that I never took something that didn't belong to me. Did you perfect that? Perfect that. Ain't that amazing? I could keep going. Time's gone. On how many things you have perfected through the grace of God. Teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. If the grace of God's not teaching you to do that, then the grace of God is not in you. It'll teach you to do right. It'll teach you to live right. It'll teach you to talk right, seasoned with grace. You'll be careful what you say to other people. You'll be kind, gentle, understanding, patient, long-suffering. Why? Because it's no longer you. You're a new man in Christ Jesus. Brand new man. Well, preacher, I don't have time, but I can take you through the Bible and prove it. When God moves in, when a person gets saved, God moves into them through the Holy Spirit of God, representing the Godhead. God the Father and God the Son is represented in your life by the Holy Spirit of God. You've yielded your life to him. Whoever you yield yourself certain to be, his servant you are. You yield yourself to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll take up authority over you. He'll say, thank you for trusting me with your life. Thank you for letting me help you out of your foolish ways. Take away the weakness and the ungodliness of things that's destroyed you. I'll gladly take your soul and keep it. You can commit it to me, and I'll keep it in safe keeping until that day. Is that what he promised to do? Did Paul write that in Timothy? That which I've committed unto him against that day? Hands off, it's yours. Order my life. I want to live for you. I want to obey you. And I want to die for you. A good tree will bear good fruit. Shall we stand? Have a solid foundation, a sure foundation. Regardless of the storms, regardless of what the devil says, regardless of what others say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest fame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Amen. Father, help us to believe the guide that give us this book. You spoke the word. And the guide, the Holy Ghost of God, gives it to our heart of understanding. Thank you. Thank you. Help us to receive it, to walk in it, to not doubt it, but accept it just like you said. I pray for each one here. You know my heart. You examine my heart if I don't pray that each one of them. You allowed me to have a charge over them. And that's a fearful thing in my mind. I certainly don't want to mislead him. I certainly don't want to say something that would confuse him or turn him out of the way. But I pray for each one that we'll be able to spend time in heaven together. Thank you for their coming. Thank you for their listening. I pray, Lord, that each one of them will find their place close to you. Walk in the light. Have the sweetness, the preciousness, the glorious of knowing the Holy Ghost of God that helps them day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You are dismissed.